Good morning. I don't know who else was singing "When the Storms of Life Are Raging" last night as the storms moved through, but it is good to see you all this morning, even if it is a little cooler or a little muggy or outside at the same time. We are glad that you are with us, and if you are with us on Facebook Live, we welcome you as well. We remind you that we do share in an open communion every week, and if you are with us virtually, I hope that you will have communion elements available to you when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together and receive the elements in unison later on in our service. If you are here in our sanctuary, we would ask that you please take your cups with you as you leave and dispose of them in the receptacle provided at the sanctuary doors. We continue to lift to God our prayers for the world, especially for the people of Ukraine. We continue to pray for peace. We also remember, it's been a bad week around here, folks. Sandy Skansky was in and out of the hospital in the ER on Friday, and we are glad that she is well enough to come and be with us this morning. Dan Allen had surgery. Paul Green was in a motorcycle accident earlier this week. We expected him to be having surgery, but they changed their minds and have moved him to Metro Rehab for at least the next 2 weeks. My daughter Christy, whom we asked for prayers, was able to come home from the hospital yesterday, and we are grateful for that and for your prayers for her. We are pretty sure it was the gastrointestinal whatever's going around and hitting some people. Christy also has a genetic autonomic syndrome that they think is what the GI thing threw that off, and that's what caused her to have to end up in the hospital. So after lots of fluid and some antibiotics, she was able to come home, and we are grateful for that. We also want to remember the Burday Allen family. We want to remember Rob Allen. Claudia Kopp is still recovering from surgery. Carol Miller from an accident. Bob Delosier's doing well, I'm guessing, because we see him every once in a while. So we're glad for that. And we want to remember Elizabeth Dalton in all the trials and illnesses that they face. We also want to remember Daryl's hand, who he didn't tell us about it till today, but it's nasty looking, so. But we're glad it's not as bad as they feared. So that is always good news. I would also ask for prayers for those who deny the blessings of Christ to anyone, and for those being denied the blessings of Christ for any reason. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, you can talk to me after this service. But that is makes me sad for the whole of the body of Christ. I'm reminding you that we share in our offerings to God by placing our monetary gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors, or by mailing those gifts to the church office. Remember, the work of the church continues 7 days a week, as does the work of God. And my understanding is that Cuyahoga County, according to the CDC, is now in the yellow alert area. So I would encourage you to wear a mask indoors and as you move around our building, unless you are actively eating or drinking, I would ask you to wear a mask. Don't panic about it. I think we've been around each other and we're still pretty well spread out. But keep that in mind. That's not changed until Thursdays. If it's gonna change, it changes on Thursdays. So who knows what next week will bring. A reminder that sign-up sheets are on the bulletin board outside the sanctuary for the various ministry needs of the church. Please be aware of those and sign up as you are able. I want to thank those who helped with the food pantry this past week, as well as with the transport of about 400 pounds of mostly canned goods from the Parma Post Office's food drive, which we didn't know about until it was over and they called for us to come pick them up. On June 18th, the Poor People's Campaign and Moral March will be gathering in Washington, D.C. Buses are available here in Ohio if you are able to participate. This campaign is and has been led by Disciples Pastor Reverend Dr. William Barber and Reverend Liz Theo Harris. If you would like more information about the Poor People's Campaign, which seeks justice for all of God's people, see me and I'll get you hooked up with that information. The ministry team working on the future of Parma Christian Church will meet immediately following the service. I pray team members will come ready and willing to listen for God's guidance as we look at our future and come ready and willing to listen to one another. We all need to be in prayer for this congregation, for the team, and for one another. With that, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. To us this morning from the Gospel of John, reading from the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Hear these words. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatah, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us from John's Gospel. After learning that last weekend, within 72 hours from May 13th through May 18th, from Wisconsin to Texas, New York to California, there were 8 mass shootings in this country alone. I thought this little portion of scripture, this healing story, would be a nice way to begin a new week, perhaps with new hope. As the week played out and congregational illnesses and accidents, as well as within my family, the monthly distribution of the food pantry, the surprise food from the post office, which they forgot to tell us about until Monday evening with the "come and get it, y'all," I found myself mentally and physically drained. And knowing that we as a congregation can no longer ignore what has become the status quo, and we must make some hard decisions about our life together, both now and in the future, well, this scripture somehow took on new meaning for me, and perhaps even new urgency. On its surface, it seems pretty cut and dry. A man needs healing after 38 years of suffering, and along comes Jesus and tells him to take up his mat, his bed if you prefer, and poof, he's healed. A feel-good story for sure. But this week, I couldn't help but think about this man. 38 years is a long time to be sick with the same illness. And while we don't know exactly how long he had been by the pool, our text tells us that Jesus knew that he had been there a long time. Apparently on one of these porticos or porches that have been mentioned, where people waited for the water to be stirred up so that they could enter the pool. Along the side of the pool, where the waters were still, is where we and Jesus find this guy. And he is just out of reach of what would be his healing. Now, some accounts of this story include the fact that an angel would occasionally come down and stir up the waters, and the first one in the waters would be the one who is healed. So that kind of explains why he couldn't get in the pool in the downtime and just wait. But I also kept asking myself, what was he waiting for? If he was that close to the waters, and if he truly believed in their power, I mean, if it was you, wouldn't you be ready to crawl or whirl or drag yourself or whatever you needed to do to get into that water and be healed? What was taking so long? Why was he still waiting? Even Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" Maybe it was more like, "Do you really want to be healed?" And of course, the blame game starts. I don't have anybody to help me get in the water. And when the waters finally start churning, somebody always pushes past me and gets in there first. Visions of the public school pool and the lifeguard whistle signaling it was time to get in the water flashed through my head, with everyone running and pushing and jumping and splashing and having a grand old time to get into the water. We know that blame game all too well. We've got it down pat. usually beginning with I said, I tried. Do you really want to be healed? Could it be that the man was afraid? And if so, what was he afraid of? Maybe he was afraid that the waters wouldn't actually work. And then all of his hopes and dreams and his hanging out waiting and all that he had believed in for all of these years would be dashed and destroyed. And then what? Better to stay with the status quo. The way he's always done things, the way it's always been. There's a sense of comfort in that, I suppose. But not doing something for fear of failure also is a choice. Maybe he was afraid that it would work, because then again, everything's gonna change. Everything. After 38 years, he would finally be healed and whole, and people would be looking at him differently. Oh, he'd need to work to provide for himself, to provide for others. But perhaps the most frightening thing of all is he'd have to face who he is without his infirmity. Who he is down in his very soul. He's never done anything other than wait and wonder. Never getting out of line, never expending the extra energy or effort needed to be healed. And suddenly in this story, the one who is sick, for a change, doesn't seek out Jesus. And despite his excuses, Jesus confronts this man and tells him to get up. Take up his mat and walk. To get up and go. Jesus comes to him and tells him to go. Christ has also come to us. Hearing Christ's call to us, we too need to roll up our mats, our beds, and we need to go. The problem is, all too often, we take a few steps, and then we go back to the mat, to the bed, to the routine that we left. From a new life of faith in Christ, we sink back into life as we always knew it. It's easier that way. We attempt little. We see things as out of reach. We don't want to stir up the waters. We have tons of excuses and little reasoning. Tons of talk and little action. It's interesting that the pool of water would only provide healing when the waters were churning. Most of us are looking for calm, peaceful waters before we even stick our toe in, let alone take the plunge, whether in water or in a new direction. But in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, that is what we are asked to do. Walk into the churning waters and be healed. The question is put to us today just as it was to that man so many years ago. Do you really want or expect to be healed, to be made whole? And the question is not just to us as individuals, but to us as a congregation, as part of the body of Christ. Do you want to be healed? Really? Are you sure? Are we really willing to open ourselves totally to the life-changing encounter with God that is ours in Jesus Christ? Is it faith in Christ that keeps us going and coming? Is it Christ's view of the world and of all that is in it that we have accepted? Or are we going along with the status quo? the world ordered by some long-forgotten religious leaders doing this or that out of some long-forgotten obligation or so-called tradition? Do we continue to use the strength that Christ gives us and confront our duties even without assurance of success? Do we come to Christ in faith? Do we come to spread the word of Christ? Are we willing to leave our egos and our fears, all the I's and if onlys, all the hurt of the past, the way we've always done it at the door, and truly, truly hear the voice of God, the voice of Christ, calling to us, telling us to take up our mats and go? Here's another little story that I read this week, and it seemed fitting for me to relay it to you. The story goes, I was 13 years old trying to teach my 6-year-old sister how to dive into a swimming pool from the side of the pool. It was taking quite a while as my sister was really nervous about it. We were at a big public pool, and nearby there was a woman about 75 years old slowly swimming laps. Occasionally she would stop and watch us. Finally she swam over to us just when I was really putting the pressure on, trying to get my sister to try the dive. And my sister was shouting, "But I'm afraid, I'm so afraid." And the woman looked at my sister, raised her fist defiantly in the air and said, "So be afraid and then do it anyway." The gospel of Jesus Christ is still what stirs and challenges us. Christ asks us, "Are you willing to be healed?" Someone answers, "Oh, maybe the next time the waters move." Or even maybe when the waters calm down. And another says, "I'm afraid." But Jesus says, "So be afraid and then do it anyway." God has already turned our lives upside down, and nothing will remain the same. It can't, because we believe in an empty tomb. We believe a whole new world of opportunity lies before us, a whole new world of things that we never knew, never imagined were possible for us as individuals, for this congregation, for this part of Christ Church. It is past time that we were healed and made whole. May we go. May we do. May we be the church Christ has called us to be, because we won't get anywhere if we're content to just lie by the side of the pool and wait. Thanks be to God. Amen.